If you got so much testosterone, you don't know what to do with it, well, this is the right show for you. This is Grapple Talk with Nick Ragner and A.C. Riley. That's right, Grapple Talk, the man show for the true hombre in all of us. So stick around. You're about to be blown away.
The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts!
And welcome to Grapple Talk. It is week numero, what is it, like 29 or something like that?
It is 29.
I think it's 29, yeah. We are one away from 30.
We are one away from
30. We are almost going to have a middle-age crisis.
Almost.
That's all I know. My name is Nick Ragner. I'm joined by A.C. Riley and Jesse Von Ruden, the regulars now for our summer edition of Grapple Talk. And big show today. We got D-Rock, Derek Cobain in the studio in just about 20. And, yeah, we're going to give you guys the latest on the upcoming shows this weekend, as well as, you know, just talk wrestling, because that's what we like to do. That's the whole point of Grapple Talk. We like talking wrestling.
We don't really talk about hairdos.
We don't talk about hairdos are not our specialty.
Maybe it's not hair tall.
Your hair looks great today.
Yeah, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And since your hair looks so good, why don't you start us off? What's coming up this weekend?
Upcoming shows.
All right. So first on the list is Bruce D. Wrestling this Friday, June 20th at the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis. Doors open at 6:45, bell time at 7:30. A lot of great matches coming up here, and they've been really good plugging on the social media for everybody to get hyped about this match. We got a battle of the UATs. We're going to see Mace Mortigan take on Jared Jax. We're also going to see Matt Winchester take on Brandon Blaze. So they got Dysfunction taking on Joey Jet Avalon.
Nice.
A lot of heat between the two just because Joey Jet Avalon got screwed out of his title opportunity with Steve Corino. We actually have a clip of that, so let's take a listen on that.
You know, I've been losing it a little bit. They've been saying in the back, this is losing it, man. And I kind of am. Stash the Heritage title. I know I could have taken it at any time, but it wasn't about the title. It was about making an example of you. Friend or foe, it doesn't matter. Off with your heads, I say. Joey Avalon. You've been screwing me month in and month out. It doesn't seem to matter when, where, how. You stick your nose in my business. And the time is coming, Joey, where it's going to be one-on-one and there will be nowhere for you to run. So, Joey Avalon, June 20th, bring your A-game because I'm bringing the insanity.
That's just the tip of the iceberg with Bruce City Wrestling, as it always is. Tickets are $15, $10 if you get them online, or here's the best part.
What's the best part?
Jesse, if you were going to this show,
uh-huh,
you would get it for $5 off because
if
your name begins with C, F, or J, Jesse,
C-F.
With proof of a valid ID, because obviously I could say my name is Chris, but if my ID says otherwise,
that's true.
I can't really get it off for that much. Mm-hmm. But if you have that with a valid ID, $5 off your ticket.
Why CF or J?
I don't know. It's just random.
It's actually a pretty cool concept and idea. It's almost like you're rewarding your fans, even though it's just a random type of thing. You know, it's like you're going on Oprah, and all of a sudden you have that gift basket.
You get a Corvette.
Exactly.
You get a Corvette.
Yeah. You get $5 off. You get $5 off.
But it's even cooler, though. They have $1 beers and hot dogs.
That's very true. And even cooler
that's the best
that.
Part.
Even cooler than that is that after the excitement, all the fandemonium, as we've heard a word quite a bit with wrestling shows, there's going to be an after party.
Ooh.
Big Dog Sports Grill, they're going to be all partying after that, so head on over there. Details and tickets, if you want to buy them for $5 cheaper on the website, BrewCityWrestlingNumber1.com.
One sec, wait. Did you say dollar hot dogs and beer?
Yes. Dollar hot dogs and beer.
All right.
Like, you got to wonder, too. I mean, hot dogs, you can always get them for a dollar. What kind of beer do you think they're going to sell for a dollar?
It's Brew City, man.
Dude, doesn't matter.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It's a dollar beer.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true, but I mean, we have some pretty cheap beers in La Crosse, and some of them, I don't know.
Dude, it's dollar
beer. It's a dollar beer.
All right, fine. I was just curious. Sorry.
Also coming up on Friday, we have Great Lake Championship Wrestling's Calapalooza 2. It's going to be in Grafton, Wisconsin. Circle B. Bell time's at 7:30. And get this, guys, as GLCW always does, they have just a stacked card, man. Former WWE, very recently named former WWE star, Brodus Clay will be in action here
somebody
in Wisconsin.
Mama.
Somebody call somebody's mama because Brodus Clay is going to be there. That's all I know. If you want to meet up with Brodus Clay, you can do so. You get front row tickets, and you get a meet and greet with Brodus Clay for only $25. Second row and meet and greet is only $20. So that's $25 for front row and the meet and greet. Otherwise, you can pay $20, sit a row back, save yourself $5. Also going to be on the show, Shockwave the Robot. This dude is a robot wrestler. Can we have one week where there's not one guy in a card that we're like... Dude, like, what was it? 2 weeks ago, we had the ice cream man, or was that last week? Whatever. There was an ice cream man one week.
True.
You know, there's another week where we've had clowns. There's other weeks where we have, you know, demonic demons. This week, well, we have a robot.
Midwest card is just, just stepping up the game.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jesse?
Well, I was going to say, if you haven't seen Shockwave the Robot, you got to check him out. This guy is unorthodox, to say the least. He's a robot.
He's a
and
robot.
He wrestles.
Not to mention, there's all the hype for the Transformers movie, so it's perfect.
Unorthodox and robot? They're not commonly used in the same sentence, because if you think of anything as a robot, he'd be the most orthodox in the ring, because he's a robot. He's programmed.
That's a paradox, and if you were a robot, your head would explode.
He's taking on Grin. We're also going to see Super Mario and El Vato taking on the Love Machine and Angel Romane. I can't roll my R's very well.
You
so
rolled a lot better than I can, man.
That's what happened. Plus, we're going to see the X-Man, Xavier Mustafa, Melanie Cruz, Armando Alejandro Estrada, I was going to be many more. General admission, if you're wondering for that, is only $10 in advance. Does this blow your mind at all? We're just talking about, you know, heads exploding. $10, and you can see Shockwave the Robot. You can see Melanie Cruz, Armando Alejandro Estrada, who's been there, you know, pretty much every single show. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see Brodus Clay in action. I mean, all for just $10 if you get them in advance, or they're 15 at the door, so you have to pay an extra $5 if you don't get them in advance. But if you do want to get them in advance, hit up blizzardbrawl.com, BLIZZARDBRAWL.com, because this is not a show you're going to want to miss. It's GLCW's Calapalooza 2. Jesse, what's going on Saturday?
Well, Independent Wrestling International is having a show Saturday, June the 21st at the Eagles Club on 287 Maria Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bell time, of course, will be 7:30. You're going to see the IWI World Heavyweight Champion Black Stallion getting challenged by the Minnesotian.
Oh.
That's going to be an interesting
one. You got that other way around, my friend.
Oh, well, pardon me. You know, I guess I can't read. I need to get my glasses checked. Let's see if
to
I can
your
get
credit,
this.
Black Stallion was the champion.
Well, that's good to know.
But now he gets his rematch.
Well, that's good to know.
Maybe he'll be the champion come Sunday.
Perhaps.
That's very true.
You never really know.
What else is going on there, Jesse?
Of course, the IWI World Tag Team Champions of Glam Slam, which would be Spider Baby and Xavier. Actually, Ian Xavier, pardon me on that one.
It's hard, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, because this guy over here, I'm tapping AC Riley on the hand, doesn't really know how to write up notes. They'd be taking on D-Rock Derek Cobain, who's going to be on our show tonight, and The Patriot. That's going to be an interesting combination with those two. Of course, the United States title is up for grabs as Damian Graves, the champion, will be challenged by Lethal X, Logan Lasher. Of course, Kamikaze Klucker will be taking on Tommy Mason. Of course, all tickets are $10 for adults, $6 for kids, 10 and under. You can check out their Facebook, International Wrestling, actually Independent Wrestling International. You know,
it's a tough name.
In my defense. In your defense.
When I'm writing these notes, I'm literally copying and pasting from the event.
So you're not writing notes then.
So
you're just copying and pasting.
I'm just copying and pasting. I don't have all the time in the world to type everything up.
You do. You don't have a job.
Come on, man.
Here's the point. So, yeah, that's going to be Independent Wrestling International. That is kind of a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to be on Saturday. You head on over to St. Paul Minnetota if you want to see them. And by the way, it is Minnesota. I just said it like that because I am a whore.
Whoops. At least you're being honest.
So coming up on Saturday, though, we have another huge show.
It's Friday, Nick.
Is that Friday as well?
It's Friday.
Well, it looks like we are all just not having the best of times today.
No, we're not on any.
But anyways, it's going to be Wisconsin Professional Wrestling. They're going to have an event, a night for Lila, and you know, this is a show where all the proceeds are going to the family. Another benefit show. You never benefit shows are always as you know. I'm sure we'll talk to D-Rock Derek Cobain about here in just a short little bit of time. One thing I want to point out before we start talking about the card is just it's really weird. I don't know if it's because we're so involved with the business, but it seems like these indie guys are willing to do anything and everything for a good cause. I mean, these guys will drop everything they're doing on a weekend. They'll drive 2.5 hours, 3 hours, go work at an event, not get paid for it. So they're going to be, you know, out of the ass on money, on pay. And they're doing it all for a good cause, you know, and something that they might have just found out about or recently found out. But they're willing to do it. And I think that's really cool. You know, something that I think it seems like, you know, a lot of other events don't really have that kind of background in doing.
Yeah, that's true. That speaks volumes for the quality human individuals that we have in this type of business,
yeah.
Where it is not – wrestling fans come in all different shapes and sizes, and everyone goes through hard times. So being able to do something that you love and be able to raise awareness mm-hmm. and help someone out is probably the greatest thing you can actually ever do. Now, the story of this young gal was heart-wrenching, to tell you the truth. Lost her battle with heart disease. Parents are just racked with bills. I mean, you've ever been to a hospital, Nick?
Yeah.
You know how much it costs just to even go
yeah.
in for a checkup.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, imagine if you had open-heart surgery 3 times.
Wow. That's a pretty hefty bill, I assume.
Exactly. So for Wisconsin Pro Wrestling to really stick their necks out and try to help out some of their fans just to pay for some of the medical bills is amazing.
It almost is more of an incentive because I think, you know, just coming from me, it seems like if you were to hear a story like this in general, you should, I mean, I would think you'd be willing to donate, you know, some money just to help out. But, I mean, they're allowing you this opportunity to go see some great action, you know, for a very low cost. You know, WPW always brings it. So, I mean, even if you're not the biggest fan of pro wrestling, I mean, it's always a great show to attend. And as I just said, you're still giving money to a great cause nonetheless. And that's something that should, you know, at least make you feel good leaving, you know, regardless, like as I said, if you enjoy professional wrestling as much as, you know, me, you, or AC Riley do.
That's true.
No doubt about it. And that's, you know, that's economics 101, is that people respond to incentives is one of the biggest principles. That's the one thing I actually remember from economics 101. Because that's just
you don't remember much.
I don't remember
what
much.
About supply and demand. Do you remember that?
A little bit. But that's one of the biggest principles that I remember. And that's the thing, is that it's one thing to just help out with the family, but some people are thinking, you know, giving this money, what do I get out of it? Well, you get out a huge wrestling show, and then you kind of, you know, even if you don't really know too much about the story, you know, you're going to check out some wrestling, and then you feel good about it, too, is that you're putting this money to, you know, watch a great show, but you also know that it's going to a good cause.
Definitely true. Our spotlight in Square Circle this week is going to be with Derek Cobain, who actually is one of the most charitable wrestlers that we know. He's going to be talking about one he's got coming up in August. I remember actually reading a story back in 2006. He was part of the Westby Rumble. Now, it was kind of weird. He actually got profiled by the La Crosse Tribune, one of his best
yeah.
friends at the time, ended up passing away.
Huh.
And they raised quite a bit of money just to pay for this guy's funeral services.
Wow.
It was one of those cool things where, actually, I remember my dad got a hold of me. He's like, hey, you know this guy? I'm like, no, man, I don't. So that was, like, really the first time I actually heard about independent pro wrestling in the La Crosse area was through a fundraiser.
That's really cool. And, you know, as I know that you guys were in Fond du Lac the last time WPW ran out of there, and they had a huge turnout, so hopefully that can happen again. As we said, all proceeds going to the family of Lila. That's this Friday, June 20th, at the Shack in Fond du Lac, W4786 State Road 23. Doors open at 6:30. Your tickets and your donations are $15, and you're allowed to get in the door. It's an all-ages event. You can always hit up Facebook.com/WisconsinProWrestling for all the details on the events. I mean, they haven't released a card yet. We don't have a card, but that shouldn't matter because it's for a great cause. And, you know, they always put on a great show, and they have a lot of talent down there. So, I mean, you don't even need a card when you're talking Wisconsin Pro Wrestling. But Night for Lila, Wisconsin Pro Wrestling in Fond du Lac on Friday. Check it out.
Did you guys hear that?
Hear what?
Well, that song that pops in your head every once in a while. You know that song? Like, you just can't get out of your head, right?
Okay.
All right. So one of the big things I'm really a big, you know, just
do
a
I
fan
think,
of.
Do I think I know what you're going to bring
you
up?
You might be. What I really enjoy is music.
Uh-huh.
And now a lot of guys now are using rock music coming out for their entrances.
Yeah.
But the question is, though, if that is your first impression with someone, especially with a new fan, what does your song say about you?
Oh, that's a great question.
That is a good question.
You know what? Something I always think about, and this is dumb, man. I mean, like, when me and AC, start talking about managing and stuff like that, I would literally, like, you know, listen to the radio, or I'd pop a CD in, and I'd be like, how could this work as entrance music?
Yeah.
Like, all the time. All the time. If you're involved in wrestling at all, I don't care. I guess I can't say this for everybody, but it seems like every time I listen to a song, I'm like, how could this work as entrance music? How could this work as psyching me up? And I have had a lot of different theories watching from the outside in, and I kind of want your guys' opinion on this. And it seems like the popular thing when we first kind of came into the business was I thought music had to fit whatever character you were trying to portray. Like, if you were trying to be, you know, if you're trying to be a lumberjack, let's say, for the, you know, the thousand of lumberjack wrestlers that are in Wisconsin, you wouldn't be coming out to AC/DC because that makes no sense. Like, that was the kind of opinion I had, you know, when we first broke into the business. And now I think it's changed a little bit. But what do you guys think? Do you guys think the music really needs to fit the character? Like, do you think if Alberto Del Rio came out to the United States National Anthem, would that kind of kill his character a little bit?
Yeah, definitely it would. Because you're thinking about it, he's an aristocrat. He's a very rich guy. For him to come out with something that patriotic for a country he really doesn't like, I mean, that totally ruined kind of the character.
But if you were to come out to maybe like some hard rock, would that be the same thing?
I think that would ruin the character too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you agree that music or a theme song to some certain extent has to fit well with whoever is coming out to it, otherwise it just kind of ruins that
I
person.
Think so, yeah. Because like you might like a song in real life, but how is that song going to fit with your character?
Yeah, exactly. But
it's kind of like this. All right. Could you guys imagine the opening sequence of Star Wars with a different song?
No, I couldn't.
No, you couldn't.
It'd be tough.
It'd be tough. You know, it can't be like all of a sudden like, you know, Jefferson Starship or some bullshit, right? No, it's like once you feel that, once you get that lift, that oomph, you know, it's just like you recognize it any time. It's like, God, what was it? D-Rock, Derek Cobain this morning on Facebook was like, hey, man, I heard the Ross Family theme song on the radio. It's going to be a good day, you know? I'm trying to do my best D-Rock, Derek Cobain impersonation there, and I totally ruined it because you're going to hear him later on in the show. But it's one of those things where you just recognize that song based on the talent. Now, AC Riley, you like coming out to metalcore, I would assume, is what the genre is considered,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes, yeah.
So, yeah, you got the boom. I mean, it's like a big boom, right? I mean, you come out of that curtain, people are already jazzed up. Now, if you came out to something different, let's say the Stars and Stripes Forever, you think you still have that same type of that pop that people actually always refer to?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, one of the reasons I like to come out to metalcore is just because it's music that gets me pumped up. You know, if I'm listening to it when I'm working out or something like that, it helps really give me that extra lift. And you're like, I can't lift this next rep. No, was that song? Oh, I can keep going.
but it's great that it gets you pumped up. But how does that song pertain to your character? It might be one of the things that we're discussing here.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I don't really know if it really makes or breaks my character. And I think that's one of the things, you know, with my gimmick, is that I don't really necessarily have a gimmick. You know, you look at, like, Judge Jesse, you know, can you imagine him coming out to, you know, we're going to say AC/DC. So, you know, if he came out to Foreigner.
You know. No. Just
jukebox hero.
No,
comes I'm Judge Jesse, and I'm gonna.
No, no, you can't
you
do that. That's
paint.
That's why the People's Court theme works wonders for him.
Yeah,
it
does.
It's the character.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, I think that's something that's really interesting to look at. You know, and I think AC Riley's kind of point, which I think is actually kind of a good, not even a bad idea, but you know, it's music that does get you jazzed up, because I know even if I've called commentary, if I've been working floor cam, hard cam, or just, you know, watching in the crowd, it kind of gives that essence, you know, because people are sitting there, you know, and like you said, that's their first impression. That's the mm-hmm. first. That's the first thing they hear. So if you have some sort of music to get the crowd pumped up too, you mean. As bad as this is, you might have to do less work to try to get them on your side. Because when you come out, if you're jacked from your music, they're jacked from your music. I mean, you've already started that cycle of them getting behind you, which is, you know, sometimes can be a problem for a lot of guys when they're first making their trips around the ring. So I think in that essence, it works out well. And, you know, it's the same thing, too, how you just kind of said you don't really have a character. Because, I mean, if you don't have a character, I mean, you basically come out to whatever you want.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. I mean, if you're just like, yeah.
You come out to Kanye West if you want and be like,
that's very true.
I don't give a fuck. Man, I'm coming up to Kanye West.
You can't do that. But
so,
like,
so that being said, we're talking about music with gimmicks and everything mm-hmm. like that. What do you think that Tyler Sunday comes out to? I mean, obviously,
you know, it's going to have to be. It's like
the music,
like the ice cream truck music.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. You know, does he come out to the original like ice cream truck music, or does it like a renovated one which has like a, you know, a sick beat or anything?
No,
like
I would say the traditional one.
Something like that. I don't know. So
what was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
I
would assume he would come out with a traditional one. Because like, you hear that, and you're like, what the?
What is
all of a sudden, here comes the ice cream guy. Yeah. He's handing out good humor bars, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like, we bring him up again because he's probably one of the coolest entrants I've ever seen in independent wrestling, but Liabo the Clown. Like, his music is terrifying, dude. But it still fits that clown gimmick where, you know, it has, like, the weird, you know,
like
laughing.
Like, haunted house
carnival.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, it fits so perfect. And, you know, I think that's, like Judge Jesse when he comes out. It's like, I would never put that song on my iPod and go on a walk, but I don't think there is a better song I could like when he comes out. I'm like, I love this song. This is great. This is like music to my ears because it fits his persona so well that it just it works so well when you see when you visual because you kind of visualize something when you hear the music and then when you see it, if it fits well, it's almost appealing to the mind.
So, do you think there is a problem possibly when you hear a certain song and then you see the individual come out? Do you think there's a problem?
I do. Okay, well, let's go big time. Let's talk about Bad News Barrett. Like, when he came back, remember when he had what was that tune that he had when he first broke up with the Nexus? I don't know what it was. That you know what song I'm talking about? He had some song.
I know what song.
And then he started feuding with like Randy Orton, and he came out to this just really weird upbeat music, and it's like that's not who Wade Barrett is.
No.
And it was, and I remember I was talking to AC over here, and I was like, what a dumb entrance! Like it made me angry. I'm like, I don't want to watch this guy because let's be honest, the entrance is actually a pretty big part of competition. Like I mean, it gets the fans psyched, and it can set up the psychology of the entire match. So if you have some sort of entrance music that might not fit well, that fans don't think works well with your character or is just, you know, stupid or plain or something, I think, you know, that could have a really negative effect on the matchup. So I think it's really important that you do need to find music that, you know, either fits the character or serves some sort of a purpose. It can't just be, I like Metallica's Enter the Sandman, so I'm gonna come out to that after the 40, minute guitar solo at the beginning. But that's just my opinion, I guess.
Oh, that's actually a valid opinion. So who's got the best theme song right now on the indie circuit? Especially
that's
around
tough.
Here.
Okay,
that's
here,
tough,
honestly.
Man, that's not a fair question.
Oh, it's a fair question. This is definitely a fair question hour.
I have two. Okay. First one has to be Ross Family's Evanescence Front. I freaking love when The Who comes on. I just love that. They turned me on to that song. Like I literally spent like weeks trying to find that song after their entrance. I was like, I need to find this. And I still, I popped that, I put that song on a CD and I listen to it to this day. But I think I don't know why, but it fits them really well. Another song I really like is I really like when Sexy KC came out to Cobra Starship. I loved it because it was almost such a weird. It's, the lyrics are, I make them good girls go bad, and it's so funny watching this guy come out and just yell at fans and just hate them, and then you have this like teeny bop song on that's saying I make good girls go bad. It's like, oh, it's so perfect. I don't know, I think it works really well, and as unintentional as it might be, I think it fits his character extremely well, and it's just something comical. Like I think it's funny, and those are definitely my two favorite entrance themes, in the indie circuit.
What about you, AC Riley?
It is a really good question because if you think about how many indie wrestlers there are just in this state alone, the options are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say one that comes to mind at this point in time would have to be when Porn Stash was coming out to the Humpty Dance. That was
when
he came out with the fist pump and everything like that. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
Not to mention like when DJ Bob would just hook up the music video, so then you'd see him come out and you'd see the I don't remember the dude's name, Digital Underground or whatever.
Sure,
And when he was doing all that stuff, it was kind of like, it was almost like a big concert kind of feel. And it's like I like that, that's the thing is that we were talking a couple weeks ago about how a gimmick, you see that on a poster, that's a first impression that people will see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is that you have the music. We talked about how it's the first impression for the show. It's also kind of a lasting impression if you think about it, because for example, if I hear Cobra Starship, I think Sexy KC.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear if I was watching like Blue Harvest, Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, do the People's Court. And I'm thinking, oh, Judge Jesse. That's exactly what goes in my head. It's not, oh, they're making a joke that they have the orchestra right there and they're going to do whatever song. I'm thinking, oh, Judge Jesse is on here. I'm going to text him. Hey, what's going on? What about you, Jesse? You asked the question. I'll answer it.
Yeah, definitely. I have to say, I love Jordy Lee's theme song. He comes out to Miley Cyrus.
Oh, God.
And it's all about partying and stuff like that. And it really fits his character to a T, because I can't imagine him coming out to anything else.
The clown dog detective.
Because he comes out there and he's very energetic, very pumped. He's happy to be there. You can't help but smile when he comes out with that song, because it takes a lot of bravado to do that.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys want to come out to the very macho, generic rock that hear on the radio every day. And then you switch in next show because it's you don't like that song. You know, it's like one of those things, you know, like it really fits his character to a T, and that's why it's great.
Does he come out and put his hands up in the air and play a song and butterflies fly away? Or?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Don't ask me how I know those lyrics. Ah, just kidding. I'm a Miley Cyrus fan. Yeah. There you go.
And just like what like I said with Corporate Starship or the People's Court theme, is that anytime I hear that song now, like after that first weekend we got to see him wrestle for that weekend, that's all I thought about.
Well, it's kind of like,
oh, what's Jody Lee up to right now?
Well, it's kind of like also bringing up really quick before we run to break, Chase McCoy's music. That's a, you know, the reason that the reason Chase McCoy's music is also good though is because I've never even heard that song before, but I remember that every SWE show I would always work hard cam, and every single show there would be some like 45-year-old woman standing up. She had to have been a mom, okay? But it'd be different every time. And she'd stand up, and she would just be like, I'm going to sing along with Chase McCoy's song because I love it. And I'm like, that right there, man, gets you over, because you have a cheerleader because of your entrance music. Plus, it also fits his character, but that's neither here nor there. But
what I will say is that I have heard that song before, and Bounty Hunter used to use it for a time. And what I'd say is that it works a lot better with Chase McCoy than it did for Bounty Hunter.
Well, yeah, because when I think of Bounty Hunter, I almost... I'm the dog, the big bad dog.
That'd be perfect music for him. And you know what? Maybe we'll actually leave you guys with that tune while we head to break. We got D-Rock, Derek Cobain coming in next. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned to Scrapple Talk.
Now it's time for Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Hey, so it's time for Spotlight in the Squared Circle, and this week's guest is none other than D-Rock Derek Cobain. Derek, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, guys. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. I know you were coming in on short notice. You had bowling tonight. How did that go?
Awful. Very awful. There's a reason I'm better in the ring.
So we're not going to talk about bowling, though. We're going to talk about his Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Oh, we're not talking about
bowling
tonight?
No, we're not.
Oh, I thought that was on the agenda.
Oh, come on, guys.
Well, maybe we'll weed it back in, but right now we're going to talk a little bit about Derek in wrestling. So, Derek, for the people that haven't heard about you or don't really know about you, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Derek Cobain. I'm originally from La Crosse, Wisconsin area. Stick to the Midwest for as far as wrestling is concerned. I've been doing it just about 8 years now. Several different feds all over the Midwest and having a blast with it.
So, you know, I want to jump into things really quick. Let's just learn the early beginnings of D-Rock, Derek Cobain. How'd you get started in professional wrestling?
I've been a fan all my life, as most of the people who are involved in wrestling would be. Managed to run into my friend Todd, who was working with another trainer, and got hooked up that way. Immediately took a shine. We got along great. We're still very good friends, and trained relatively at the same time, and been up and down the road together ever since.
Now, you said that you've been in the business for about 8 years now, correct?
About that.
And now, for the people that maybe haven't heard who you are, which in this area, you know, a lot of people, you say D-Rock or Derek Cobain, they'll have a basic idea of who you are. List a few places in the area and certain areas, territories that you've wrestled around.
Let's see, SWE out of Milwaukee. I have worked for IAW out of Milwaukee. Seven Rivers Wrestling, New Age Wrestling, WPW on this western side of the state, IAW and NLW up in the Twin Cities, and a little bit of work here and there for GLCW down in Milwaukee as well.
Wow.
So where did you really start with the – because I believe you started with D-Rock and then you kind of morphed into Derek Cobain over the years. It's kind of a new persona you made. But like, what was the idea behind just D-Rock in general? Where did you come up with the name?
A friend of mine actually gave it to me. It was a nickname for years and years before I – dreamed about getting into wrestling. I walked into work one day and he goes, "Hey, D-Rock," and I'm like, "I like it.
All right, we're good. Sign me up."
Well, that's actually a pretty good. You never really give yourself the really nice nicknames. Right. It's always someone else that gives you those nicknames. Now, one of the big things, of course, you've been in the business for over 8 years now. I got to ask you, have you got to see a lot of changes go down? Positive changes or negative changes?
It depends on the day, honestly. Sometimes you look at this business like, man, what am I doing? Running up and down the road for no money. But then you look at it, man, so much fun. The people you meet. Definitely the people you meet, unless even Riley. I got stuck along the way. But it's lots and lots of changes, but for the most part, just go with the flow. Everything comes full circle. If someone one door closed, another open, old adage, but it still is very relevant, and there's plenty of opportunity around, and had a lot of fun with it. So
we're talking about opportunities, and we know you inside the ring. What a lot of people might not know, or maybe have come to know, you started up Seven Rivers Wrestling. You know, a company that I know that all of us here at the table really enjoyed working for. So, where did that idea come up? I mean, you were inside the ring. Did you know you wanted to book a show one day? How did that start up?
I was curious about it. I had thought about it for several years beforehand, about trying to run some stuff around here before I even got into wrestling, man. I can't imagine having tried to book a show not knowing how wrestling really works. But once I got a better grasp of it, another friend of mine who was somewhat mutual knowledge of wrestling, we got together, put a few shows together, and had a really good run for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the premier shows, especially in the area, because, you know, lacrosse would seemingly be a big market, and, you know, that was actually the only show running, you know, in the direct lacrosse area. And I guess, what really went behind, I guess, the transition from being an in-ring wrestler to being a booker? Did you have to separate certain aspects of each, or how did that really work out?
Honestly, I guess the main thing of that is it's... Sounds rough, but I mean, as long as you can know who your friends are, and people can separate friendship and business. I just had a lot of ideas that I thought would go really well. People I thought would work really good together, storylines I thought would, angles I thought would work out really good. And either someone who else I was working for didn't want to hear them, or I thought they'd do really good in this area, so I thought, what the heck, we'll try it out and see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, you know, we're talking about Seven Rivers Wrestling, but another show that's actually coming up in the middle of August is this benefit show. Tell us a little bit about that and how that came to be.
This is running under the banner of River City Championship Wrestling. There's a young man in the lacrosse area by the name of Cody Davis. He is suffering from a degenerative eye disease. He will be completely, totally blind by the end of the year.
Wow.
It's an awful case, and it's got a lot of news around the area, and there's a lot of people wanting to help out, and another friend of mine decided we would step up and try. We got people coming from, or wrestlers coming from all over the Midwest for this show. It's August 15th right in La Crosse. All the proceeds are going right to Cody Davis, and Cody's bucket list is the fund called. It's set up to raise money for him to get out and see things, basically. He wants to see the ocean. He wants to see a Bears game, all these things that he's honestly never going to have a chance to see again, so we want to help out with that.
Now, for people maybe interested to know a little bit more about this, can they find any details online of maybe how they can, you know, help out or lend a hand?
We have a River City Championship Wrestling Facebook page on Facebook. That's the only publicity we have right now. There's flyers and everything going up pretty soon, and some radio spots will be coming up as well, too. That's pretty much the only information we have right now.
You know, it sounds like it's going to be a great cause, and, you know, another great show. It's always good to see, you know, local guys coming together for a great cause, and it's actually kind of cool, too, because it seems like out of any other kind of way to raise funds, it seems like professional wrestling, you know, guys always decide to come together, you know, not to get paid, just so they can put that money towards a good cause, and that's really good to hear. Going back more to your, I guess, beginnings, I think what me and Jesse and AC Raleigh on road trips and stuff have discussed, one thing that's really unique about D-Rock Derek Cobain is the move list, man. I mean, you got some of these moves that were just like, oh man, that's so cool. It's so unique inside the ring. I guess where does the inspiration to kind of, you know, challenge yourself, do these, you know, have this move set that's different than anybody else? Where does that come from?
Just tapes, hours and hours and hours of tapes, and YouTube and WWE, TNA, Japan, lots and lots of indie stuff. A guy I love watching the indies, Chuck Taylor. I'm pretty sure I've stolen at least half of his moves. He's an amazing competitor, amazing talent. And that's just, I mean, if you see something you like, try it out, see if it works out for you. If you're physically capable of doing it, I'll be the first to admit I'm not much of a top rope person. But if I see something I can do and like to give it a try, if it works well, keep it up.
Now you mentioned that you watch a lot of tapes and you like to review a lot of different moves. You mentioned Chuck Taylor is a guy that you like to mirror a lot. Who was a guy growing up that you really like to idolize? We see a lot of that with wrestlers, that they try to idolize this specific wrestler, this specific feud, you know, to bring into their own moveset.
He's not one that I don't think gets mentioned a lot, but honestly, Tommy Dreamer has always been one of my absolute favorites. The original ECW ran a show in 2000 in La Crosse, and that was the show that I decided I wanted to do this. It was Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman, his very first match back with ECW after he left WCW, against Steve Corino and Jack Victory, and I didn't blink the entire match. And I mean, I think at the end of the match, it's like, I have to do this. Oh, yeah, one of my favorite moments ever in wrestling, I actually got to tell Tommy Dreamer that, and he almost kind of was very choked up by it, actually. He was proud to have been an inspiration.
That's really cool.
Well, definitely getting the opportunity to see the original ECW at the Lacrosse Seminar. I actually remember hearing about that show the day of, and I was very upset I couldn't make it. It was kind of one of those weird things how it happened, but a match like that, we have Jack Victory's underrated talent in the business, phenomenal. Steve Corino, who's still going strong today. The Sandman, who basically, I don't know if anyone could really say a bad word about him, like, influence-wise. Right. Everything else you can say a bad word about him, but, like, influence-wise, because, like, he really influenced a whole generation of brawlers with his change of style.
A lot of people would say he was the original icon for Stone Cold Steve Austin's character, almost.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Well, basically, yeah. And then, of course, and then Tommy Dreamer, who was like that new generation bleeding heart babyface that everyone could get behind, and that was something that you definitely picked up over time. Now, one of your specialties, of course, is tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You and Josh Kalisto, stable number 12, have been running strong. You guys sometimes butt heads, but I mean, that's always going to happen with brothers, right?
I've said that many times. You know, you can only hang around one person so much before you get sick of them. Things will happen. You'll fight a little bit. You get over it. You move on.
Well, that's definitely true. But you got a big match coming up this week, and actually an IWI. It's going to be. I think one of you guys got it up here, don't you? Let's see here.
Maybe we do. Maybe we don't.
Actually, we
I
do.
I think you might have it, though.
Yeah. It's going to be you and the Patriot, number 3, taking on Glam Slam.
Ian Xavier and Spider Baby have been the IWI Tag Team Champions in St. Paul at least 6-7 months now, and butted heads with a few different partners with them along the way, but I think they have a very Canadian-based influence, and I brought the USA Patriot in with me to help me see what we can do against them.
But definitely, go USA, right?
Go USA.
Definitely. Hey, yeah, go USA. Let's talk about Josh Kalisto, because we know a lot about Derek O'Bain as stable number 12. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a pretty big tag team in this area. But where do your beginnings come from with Josh Kalisto? Did you guys kind of train together, or how did that start?
He was working for NFW up north, and I was working for NAW down here, and NFW and NAW had kind of a partnership, so I would go up to their shows. Josh would come down to the ones down here, and we just kind of hit it off, started talking about running and working different shows together. We, probably our best connection, when we really started teaming together, we went down to a show called Hammerlock Pro Wrestling down in Illinois, and then spent 14 hours driving from that show Friday night to Duluth on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Listening to You Can Call Me Al on repeat the entire way.
Oh, boy.
It was awful, but it made a connection. It gave us a reason to talk to each other instead of listen to the
music. You know what's really funny is I actually remember a few road trips with us three, and that song was quite the overplayed song.
So let's talk about it then. I mean, you teamed up with Josh Kalisto as stable number 12, but then obviously you have your singles career as D-Rock Derek O'Bain. So I guess in your opinion, we've had a lot of guys on here that have been tag team wrestlers that have started transitioning to singles and vice versa. You know, in your opinion, what are the differences and what are your likes and dislikes of each form of wrestling?
There's an art form to everything, obviously. There's very, very different art forms when you do tag team wrestling and singles wrestling. With tag team, you gotta have that one guy who's trying to keep everyone going. You know, you got that moral support on the outside. When you're out there in your match on your own in a singles wrestler, you might not have as much support as you think you do. Tag team wrestling, you always know someone's definitely there, got in your back. It's different, totally different story, but they go very well.
You know, one thing too is that with your 8-year career, now you're getting to that ability where you can start to look back on a few of your matches. What's a match in your career that you've had that you look fondly to? You try to mirror some things about it, something that worked really well, maybe just something you liked about it. And then on the other side of the coin, you know, what's a match that it's kind of on your bucket list?
he always asks these questions.
Well, he's got like 3 or
people.
4 questions there. Just go with the first one. I mean, 8 years, nostalgic. What do you look back on that you're like really proud of?
I have had several matches with Red Lightning, a guy out of the old AAW that used to run out of Eau Claire, and him and me always had a great time, and everything just flowed really smooth, and everything went really good, and got great reactions. He's semi-retired now, I believe, but I would love to work him again in a heartbeat. As far as the bad matches, I don't really try to think of any of the bad matches. You just try to think of it as a learning experience. Even if something didn't go right, okay, what can I do better next time? Try to make this work. Try to make a pinfall work a little better, something. There's no bad experience.
You know, and I guess Ace Rai's last question there is, I'm kind of curious too. If you had the opportunity to say, you know, if Seven Rivers was running again, and you could work a program with anybody, I mean, who's a guy in this area that you'd like to maybe work a couple month long program with, or you know, have a series of matches with?
Honestly, from this area, if you've guys ever talked to Lumberjack, he's actually underrated. He kind of fell out of the area for a while, but he's kind of working his way back up. He'd had a great match with Matt Stryker at Freedom Pro a while back. I would like to do a lot of work with him. We've had a couple chances we've gotten to work, but I was very new in the business at the time, and he was too. And we both come a long way. I'd like to really try to mix it up with him again.
Well, that definitely would be an interesting feud. And speaking of interesting, coming up July the 4th, it's the 4th of July show, SWE taking on CWA, and you have an opportunity of a lifetime to go against the North American Heavyweight Champion, the UIWA, in J-Dog. I got to ask you, Are you nervous at all? I mean, this is probably, I would have to say, profile-wise, one of the biggest matches you've ever had.
It's definitely going to be interesting. I've never got the opportunity to meet or work with J-Dog at all, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Obviously looking forward to possibly adding another title to the resume. Definitely nothing wrong with that. UIWA is picking up a lot of steam with a lot of different feds. It'd be great, great, great opportunity to get my name out there a little more.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, it seems like you can't go a week without a UIWA post anywhere. You can't go, you know, a Sunday without a recap of any sorts. So one thing that we talked about, so we mentioned that Josh Calista is like a brother to you. But what's funny is that you actually have a brother-in-law who's also a wrestler. So I got to ask, what's it like marrying into a family that has indie wrestlers in the area? Does that mean that there's usually a guaranteed brawl, guaranteed lumberjack match during the Thanksgiving dinner or anything like that?
Yeah, my brother-in-law is a wrestler. My father-in-law is a referee, which drives all of our wives crazy because it's wrestling talk 24/7.
That's pretty funny. I guess I have to ask it now. So, have you ever thought about maybe feuding with your brother-in-law, or maybe tagging up, or you know, doing something? I guess in the family, maybe.
We've had matches against each other before. We're actually pretty well evenly matched, and we've never teamed together. It's an interesting thought. I haven't thought about it. That could be. Could be an interesting run.
Now, if you guys could actually do the whole Davey Boy Smith, Bret Hart thing, I would love to see that. You know, like, you could have Kara in the front row, like, like, you give him the power slam on the outside. It'd be really good. I think it would be wonderful, and I think all the fans here in La Crosse, especially throughout the state, would actually love to see it.
Any of them that would know the backstory definitely might be interested in checking that out.
We're starting to run out of time here, unfortunately. So one thing I got to ask before we head out of here is, you know, there's always a lot of you know, people that, you know, go to shows, it's sometimes their first show ever. You know, obviously there was a little bit of incentive to have them come in the first place. But that being said, is that if you were trying to convince somebody to go to a wrestling show, why would you tell them that it would be worth their while?
We cater to everyone, man. If you don't like, they say about the circus, if you don't like the elephants, you got the clowns. If you don't like the clowns, you got the trapeze act, something like that. Wrestling has a little bit of everything, and that's what I love about it. There's all kinds of different acts. There's something that will appeal to everyone, every generation, whether it's the athleticism, the stories, the comedy. So they're going to find something they like.
Well, that was a solid answer.
That was a very
solid
answer.
That was a very good answer. I'm not going to lie. That was good. Well, Jesse, why don't you, you started us? You want to wrap us up then?
D-Rock, Derek, thanks for coming in this week. Good luck coming up on July the 4th. Good luck this weekend. Hopefully we can catch you sometime down the road.
Sounds good, guys.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Why is Vic's office in the men's room? Can anybody answer this question?
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Remember, kids, always wash your hands after going to the bathroom.
And welcome back to Grapple Talk. Just had a pretty good conversation with D-Rock Derek Cobain. He has that show coming up on July 4th. He'll be working for CWA. And then he has that other show.
The Big Benefit show,
yep,
August 15th.
August 15th. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
We'll be there.
You know? We'll be there. Definitely want to check that one out. It's for a great cause, and you know, Derek Cobain, you know, puts on pretty good shows. I mean, with Seven Rivers Wrestling, you know, they were always really fun to attend, so you're not going to want to miss that one. And yeah,
it's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
For the past 2 weeks, we haven't really done one, but this week we are doing a Wrestler's Perspective.
No.
So
yeah.
DJ, spin that shit. I'm talking about the music, of course. So this week's Wrestler's Perspective. AC Riley, so Jesse Von Rudin's been giving you crap the past few weeks.
Quite
because
a bit.
Actually, you know, ever since it first came out, because you were the last remaining independent wrestler that had not purchased the WWE Network.
I don't know if I would say the last.
I think you were.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you were.
To our extended knowledge, Yes, but I mean, who's to say that somebody in Texas doesn't have a network?
Well, I would think I would assume they would have the network.
Yeah, I would assume too.
I mean, why would be the hypothetical kind of guy assuming? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty sure that WWE just released statistics actually, and there was 99% of independent wrestlers did have the WWE network.
Really? Exactly,
they did. But that's you know, that's, if you want to check that out, go look it up online because you can do stuff like
that.
What
was that in Raw this week? It's like, did you know?
Was that the did you know this
week?
Did
you know?
Well, it's better than did you know this is the most rated network on Monday or something like that. No kidding.
Well, you know, did you know that Grapple Talk is the best
podcast?
Exactly.
It's
got
to be one of the top 10.
AC Riley, do you love the network? So you got to love the network.
I do love the network. I end up getting it, and you know how much I love the network?
How much you love the network?
I gave some of my plasma to pay for the network.
Let's talk.
I've given up my bodily fluids so I can watch.
I don't think you want to admit that you gave up bodily fluids to watch wrestling. I mean, that's a little.
Get
your mind out of the gutter, Jesse.
Hey, my mind's not in the gutter at all.
Oh, really?
It doesn't have to be in the gutter.
Just this motion and your mind's not in the
man.
Gutter?
Let's talk about a wrestler's perspective because that's the name of this segment, God damn it. Okay? Listen to me. let me try to pull the reins on this horse here. We're going off track. We need to get back on the Oregon Trail before Susie Q dies of a leg injury.
Wow. Or dysentery.
Or dysentery. So, wrestler's perspective. So, in your opinion, how does the WWE Network benefit independent wrestlers?
I think it benefits a lot because, Derek mentioned that, watching tapes. Yeah, as you've mentioned a few times, because you like to plug the app and the network and all that stuff. You got to do it. I understand that, but you can watch tapes, and here for $10 a month, you can do that. I mean, one thing I kind of not a fan of is that I can't look up Raw if I missed it that week or SmackDown if I missed it that week. But that's one small flaw in a lot of good positives. I mean, one thing that I personally love of it, I've talked to you about it, Jesse. I personally love being able to watch NXT. I think it's worth the $10 a month right then and there. Because, it has that independent wrestling show vibe because it's a lot of guys that are, trying to get their name out there, a lot of undiscovered talent. And, of course, with that crowd, you can't pull a fast one on them. For example, Sami Zayn comes out and you get the Ole chants.
Why they're doing that.
They can't pull a fast one on the indie crowd.
Why are they doing that?
You're such a smart man.
The thing is that, it's just like as a wrestling show, if you bring in a name to like a show here, they brought in Brodus Clay for Friday. Mm-hmm. And then whoever he works, it's going to be a pat on the back to the indie guy that gets to face him. A wide amount of experience for a guy that's made it big time. Just like that with NXT, they'll bring in guys like Cesaro, Jericho was on there, I believe. Mm. They on NXT Arrival, they had Too Cool wrestle against the tag team champions Ascension. It's just like that rub there is, past and present, or future and present, meeting there. And it's just some of the matches they put together is amazing. I mean, Cesaro and Sami Zayn had an incredible program and at Arrival it ended up coming to a conclusion. And it is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. It was 30 minutes opening contest, and that was the perfect spot to put it at.
Yeah, you definitely need to go back a few months to their best 2 out of 3 falls match. It was probably the best match, bar none.
That's on my list.
Underneath the WWE banner last year because it was really that good. All right, guys, so last week we had a recommendation, right?
Yep.
I got a name for this segment, right?
Oh, you do?
We're going to call it Tape Study.
Ooh,
tape.
I like it.
Nice.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Yes.
So
yes.
One of the big things we've been noticing a lot lately, especially in the area, is this advent of the big show. I know Heavy On Wrestling has this huge show coming up in August. But one
My
of the
birthday, by the way.
Yeah, well, congratulations for having a birthday. So I ended up stumbling on something on YouTube. It's called Indie Wrestling Archive. All right.
Okay.
This guy actually goes around and basically just digitizes old indie shows.
Is it
really?
You?
Yeah. What?
Is it you?
No, it's not. Actually, tell you the truth, I have a normal job. I can't be doing this all the time. It would be great, but not yet. So anyhow, he had a show from April 17th of 1993 from Minneapolis, Minnesota at the American Indian Center, which has probably got a different name now. This is a NWA Grand Slam. Now, the cool thing about this show is, you look at this, it is literally, literally 4 months before Paul Heyman started doing his big ECW run.
Yeah.
So you have the Tasmaniacs on there, Sabu is on there. Jerry Lynn's on there.
Ooh.
Horace the Psychopath is on
there. What?
Yeah, exactly. Horace the Psychopath took on Billy Blaze.
What?
This must have been one of Horace's first matches.
That's crazy.
The cool thing was Eddie Sharkey's the referee for the majority of these matches.
Really?
Really.
What?
It was a nuts type of promotion. Sabu and Lightning Kid Yeah, 1-2-3, kid. X-Pac. Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
That's one of your favorite guys of all time.
Chris Candido took on Jerry Lynn. Chris Candido at this point in time is probably 19.
Wow.
Taking on Jerry Lynn, who was just coming off his really good feud with Lightning Kid. The main event, Terry Funk against Road Warrior Hawk.
Wow.
Now, here's the crazy thing about this match, right? It is the prototypical ECW match. Terry Funk comes out. Just starts throwing stuff. Literally starts throwing chairs, swiping at ring announcers. He punched the ring announcer in the head. He started grabbing stuff off the commentator's table. They're freaking out. They have no clue what's going on. All of a sudden you hear Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, right?
Yep.
Here comes Road Warrior Hawk. Just all business, right? Fans are patting him on the back. Takes off his spikes. Next thing you know, him and Terry Funk are in the crowd just beating the living dog shit out of each other.
Nice.
It's to the point where this classic hard cam shot. They're up in the bleachers, and Hawk smashes Funk's head against the wall, right?
Uh-huh.
Funk does the whole stumble back thing. You see this blood spot. The announcer's like, oh, my God, he just bashed his head against the wall, and he's bleeding everywhere. Funk starts like this, oh, God, like slip and slide motion down the stairs.
No.
Backwards.
No.
Yeah, seriously. No. It is unbelievable. If you guys get a chance, check this out on YouTube. Follow them on Twitter, on Facebook. I believe it's Indie Archive on Twitter.
Okay.
They post matches every day on this thing. It is amazing. It's even cooler. It's like you get matches from, oh, God, geez. You know, there's some ACW stuff, original ACW stuff from Green Bay. We got stuff from West Virginia. They had a lot of stuff on Trent Acid, who passed away, God, like almost 10 years ago today. You know, it was really kind of cool, and for him to go out and do this, because a lot of these tapes are just going to, I would say, just going to rot away if didn't put them online. And to have them online and actually get to see indie wrestling, see it how involved and stuff like that is a treat and a half, because you hear certain things about certain promotions, but you never get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
And for the simple fact that there is a lot of history in this area that a lot of people forget about because they don't have it on their hands.
Well, not to mention is that you got to give the guy credit for going and doing this in the first place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, a lot of people can say, hey, I have a tape if you want to take a look at it or some of that. He's like, no, I'm going to digitize this and have the whole world be able to see it.
Yeah, it's like, I never heard of this guy called Larry Cameron. Now, this guy actually trained with Brian Pillman up in Stampede Wrestling.
Oh, wow.
Former football player. This guy was jacked. Jacked. He could have been the next big thing, but he was a little too old, right?
Oh, okay.
So he ended up actually had a heart attack in the ring in Germany in 93.
Oh.
Literally, I just shit you guys not, literally 8 months after this match, had a heart attack in the ring in Germany and died.
Oh, wow.
At the age of 41. This guy was jacked, though. Like, if you get a chance to see his match against Tommy Ferreira from that show, he's just literally, I said it once, he's beating the dog shit out of him.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it. Remember, Grand Slam 93, NWA, this is definitely worth your time to watch.
Well, dude, Jesse Von Ruden, and that is this week's tape study. Great name, by the way.
Well, you know, I was sitting
fantastic
there.
Name.
Really, so, really good name. I like it.
Really quick, to wrap things up, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the upcoming shows this weekend. AC Riley, you start us off with Brew City Wrestling. What is going on Friday, my friend?
All right, well, Brew City Wrestling, Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street, West Allis, Wisconsin. Bell time at 7:30, doors open at 6:45. A lot of great matches. You can check the details at their website, BrewCityWrestling1.com. Tickets are $15 or $10 if you get them online or if your name is C, F, or J, or starts with.
Also want to talk about GLCW's Calapalooza 2. That is also on Friday. Circle B in Grafton, Wisconsin. Bell time's at 7:30. One thing you need to make sure you note, former WWE superstar, Brodus Clay is going to be there. And, yeah, they're making it affordable for you. You can get it front row tickets and a meet and greet with Brodus Clay for only $25. If you want to sit a row back, you'll save $5, and you'll also get that meet and greet, so you'll pay $20. Otherwise, general admission is $10 in advance or $15 at the door. If you want to get those tickets in advance or see more on what the show has to offer, head on over to blizzardbrawl.com.
And, of course, Independent Wrestling International up into St. Paul, Minnesota at the Eagles Club on 287 Maria Avenue. Bell time will be 7:30. Great show. $10 for adults, $6 for kids 10 and under. If you want to find out more information about them, check them out on Facebook.
You want to make sure you also hit up on Friday WPW's A Night for Lila. That one's going to be in Fond du Lac, W4786 State Road 23. Doors will open at 6:30. All tickets are $15, and all of those proceeds will be heading on over to the family of Lila. Just a very heart-wrenching story there. Make sure you check out facebook.com/WisconsinProWrestling for all the details on a night for Lila.
And remember that this is only the tip of the iceberg of what's going on this weekend for Midwest Wrestling. There's a lot of other shows that we don't have the time to cover. So either way, even if you don't go to one of these shows we mentioned, you're not going to be wrong for going to any of the shows.
Exactly. And you can always try to keep up with the latest on independent wrestling by hitting up our Facebook. That's facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is @TheGrappleTalk as well. And, yeah, that was it. Great show, guys. Great show. I mean, we had a great show again this week. I'm really enjoying our summer stuff, guys.
I think it's some of our best stuff yet.
It's definitely some of our best stuff. And, well, you are the best of people for joining us. This has been episode number 29 for AC Riley and Jesse Von Ruden. We'll catch you guys next week right here on Grapple Talk.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
I think Butchie's got a crush on that girl in the front row, the one in the pink shirt.
I think Butchie has a crush on the ref, actually.
I heard the convict actually had a crush on the ref.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Convict reverses it. You learned that move in jail.
Thanks for joining all summer long.